government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, John Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I am your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Before we bring tonight's guest on board, I want to thank the many people that have been sending emails for the Three Stooges article that's out, and they're happy and printed out. Oh, I'm happy. You're happy. That's what this is all about. Here we are, September 30th, and this is the end of the fiscal year. Now, already on the East Coast, it is October the 1st, so we're now entering a new fiscal year. You wonder why we had this bailout emergency over the weekend, and of course, they're going to try to probably slip this through again on Thursday, so we must remain vigilant and outspoken and let our representatives know how we feel about this. There's not been anything except a steady media propaganda exercise to get people scared into thinking that we have to go into debt another $700 billion. As I pointed out on other shows and several hundred economists around the country have pointed out there is no reason for this panic other than someone's trying to cover their rear end because they've gambled and lost, and it's not up to us to pay. You lose some money, nobody comes to your aid, and it should be the same for these people. They got these golden parachutes, exorbitant salaries, annual salaries, are just outrageous, and they want you to pay for them. And they want us to provide the money to continue the game as it's been. They've proven that they can't manage trillions of dollars, and to give them more trillions is just maddening. And it's a continuation of the same insanity. The only way you're going to get someone to do something positive in our economic community is to put somebody responsible in the position and get rid of the crooks. That's all I'm going to say on that topic. Now, I want to thank some people that sent some emails to alert my attention to various news items. Paul in Flagstaff, Paul called into the show last week during Michael Anthony's interview and had a lot of nice things to say about Michael's private stock, and that's a product that will keep you feeling well and healthy during all the madness that's going on, the spraying of our skies, the poisoning of our food and water. And if you haven't checked out Michael's products, you can go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and click on sponsors, and it's all there. Special thanks to Renee in Torrance, sending some news items. And I'm going to actually be tackling a couple of those topics later this week. In fact, I have very interesting guest coming on board, Mr. Eric O'Ryan, who wrote the book The Bush Connection. And it's some parallel research to my Scherf article. That's the real name of the Bush clan. And he had the unique distinction and the honor of meeting Otto Skorzeny, a former Nazi assassin and a sometime bodyguard of Adolf Hitler, and, of course, one of the co-founders of the CIA in the United States, again, with George H. Scherf. And so Eric will be coming on board tomorrow night. And I'm going to have, actually, Ken Adachi is going to be on every Thursday this month. And we're going to do a series of in-depth analyses on a number of important issues, so you're not going to want to miss those shows. So with that, many thanks go out to everyone who has been responding. And I've got one email that I received this evening that I'd like to share with you. In fact, I got it right before showtime. This is a short little message here I'm going to read in the email, and this is really something to think about. This is the perceptions of a five-year-old. Last Saturday, while people watching in the grocery store parking lot, my almost five-year-old granddaughter turned to her mom and said, "Mom, I think all those people are puppets." And now she is referring to people as puppets. None of us has ever talked to her like that, even though we know the extent of it's true. I'm wondering if the granddaughter is not listening to Evident Footprints, because we've certainly been identifying some politicians as puppets. Don't want to leave too strong of an imprint on an impressionable young one, but it sounds like we have a very discerning child there. And I thank Middle Yaya for that email. That's very touching, and it's very humorous as well. Okay, with that, I'm welcoming back tonight a guest that we had on this past month, and I had a second show scheduled, and she was gracious enough to let Pastor Matt Stephen and Stephen Benning come on the show sort of on an emergency basis and share some prophetic visions that they had of some coming calamities. And I'm glad to have her back tonight. And we're going to be discussing the hollow earth and the people living inside the earth and her visits there, her training there, and hopefully a little bit of her time spent at Area 51 as well. With that, I welcome Colonel Billy F. Woodard. Billy, how are you this evening?
Fine.
That's fine. A short answer. Okay, great. Woman of many words tonight.
I'm healthy, let's put it that way.
Okay.
In between the shows, I received some information and updates on a few items, events that are going to be taking place. One of them in the very in a couple of short weeks, actually.
Okay. Well, we'll get into those in a couple of minutes, if that's all right.
Okay.
For the sake of the new listeners, can we do a 1-2 minute recap of who you are and where you've been and sort of how you got there, for starters.
Okay, all the way from my birth, or
well, it's it definitely pertains to the story. So,
okay, well, all right, well, basically, okay, I won't go back as far as my birth, but I will go back as far as Area 51. How I happened to be stationed at Area 51, I was requested by my adopted father. He was attached to the Majestic 12 people in the UFO investigative team, along with a few others, that people of notable titles as well. Gates is one of them, by the way. But anyway, so basically how it happened was that at age 12, I was picked up by a saucer and taken into the hollow earth and remained there for 6 months. And then I was brought back to the surface, which they gave me sodium pentothal and hypnosis and to find out whether I was telling the truth or not, and discovered I was, and perplexed them quite a lot. To know that there's actually a civilization living within your own planet. So that kind of shook them up a bit. But And then after I got out of the my basic military and then was stationed at the Pentagon, after that I was restationed to Area 51 in the underneath Nevada.
Okay, now let's slow, Billy, if we can, let's slow down just a little bit. Okay,
okay.
You were, and I want to sort of review this. You were
okay.
You were taken in a ship.
Yes.
into the hollow earth, and you said you
yes.
stayed there for 6 months. Now, did they let you leave the ship, or did they keep you on the ship?
No, I was able to get out and walk around around the hollow earth cities, such as Yehnu, and which is spelled J-E-H-U, and then the city of Eden, which is actually the Garden of Eden. There's a city there now. And there's the cities of Shambhala, and there's two cities of Shambhala. One's called the Lesser City, and then there's the Main City. The Lesser City is located within the Earth's crust, and the Main City is in the Hollow Earth itself. Now, I was able to walk around, talk to the people there, and meet a lot of people that were at one time on the surface, that had been picked up or, I should say, rescued because their airplanes or ships or whatever were caught up in the Bermuda Triangle, or ones that were an aviator, female aviator, that was about ready to ditch in the Pacific Ocean, South Pacific, actually. And her name was Amelia Earhart. So I met her. She was quite tall when I met her because she'd been down there for a long time.
Now, none of these people wanted to actually come to the surface?
Oh, no. No. They had no desire whatsoever to come back out because of the harmonious life and atmosphere that is within the hollow earth. There is no disease of any sort. No sicknesses, no wars. Everything is in total peace there, just as it should be on the surface, which of course it's not. But that is soon to change, and
mm-hmm.
later on.
I think if they got a chance to see American Idol or some of the Britney Spears news clips, that they would probably want to come back. Don't you?
Well, that's funny. That's a real funny. No, I don't think so. Really, I really don't think they have any interest in Britney Spears or the American Idol. They might have interest in the music because they love music, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think they would go for the kind of music that's out here. But
are they hip to like the pop music that's happening up here on the planet? You know, like Elvis Presley or the Rolling Stones, or you know,
they monitor all of your media, and
okay.
they know everything that's going on every second.
So I better watch out. I better be careful. Then they may be listening to the show.
Oh, they are listening to the show. I can guarantee it.
Okay.
and they are listening to Mr. Horowitz. He was giving some very interesting information. Especially, he mentioned about the sun is singing to Earth, which it is,
mm-hmm.
and it's sending a harmonic, a harmonious, loving sound directed toward the Earth. And of course, it's like a love song to Mother Earth,
mm-hmm.
and it's helping to her revitalize her ecosystem, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple of things about the sun, which your new people that are listening probably don't know about, and probably never heard of before, that the sun is not hot; it is a light. That's all it is. It is basically it's cold. the heat that you feel when on the Earth is the flares going out from the sun, or the light flares going out from the sun when they strike the Earth's atmosphere and the rotation of the planet Earth. That creates the heats up the light, and that heats up, and that's the heat that you feel. That's the only heat that you get from the sun. Not, you don't get solar radiation. You don't get skin cancer from the sun. That's a fable. That's a folklore. That's false. What's causing your cancers in your bodies, skin cancer, has nothing to do with the sun. So don't think that the sun is giving you all this problem. It's not. It's your own government and all the poisons and the radiation that they've been throwing up in the atmosphere from nuclear tests and pollution and all of these poisons that are going up into your atmosphere and coming back down from chemtrails. All of this is your own doing. It's the what I mean by a government's own doing. They are destroying their own world.
Yes, I agree. Now, I'm glad you made that clarification, because I'm not spraying the chemtrails, and most people I know aren't doing it.
Of course you're not.
Yeah.
I meant the government. I'm not saying people in general.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the governments. Governments of all the world. See, several years back, the governments got together, and they did a study about the population of Earth, and that it's going to double or triple and quadruple. And they were fearful because this Earth is not all that big, and there's going to be a lot more people being born, babies being born, and which is going to make the population grow. Consequently, they had to have a way to control the population. Now, the governments all got together, and they agreed that certain segments of the population had to be controlled by literally elimination. And all this has been taking place ever since the 50s. And as horrible as that sounds, it's factual. So they created things such as the AIDS virus, the leukemia, the tuberculosis. All of this is not natural. No sickness on this planet is natural. It was created.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with that. Now, if we can sort of move forward a little bit now, because I caused you to back up. So, you were about what age again when they took you in the ship?
I was 12 years old.
You were 12. Okay, so you were 12 and a half, roughly, when you came out.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, did you maintain a somewhat normal life? Did you go to the regular school like most of us did? Or,
out here?
Well, I don't mean in the inner Earth. I mean once they released you and you came back up.
Okay, yes, I did go to a regular public school, but the thing was, I graduated high school at age 12, so I really didn't have that much no need for school. I had a very much smarter brain capacity back then.
Okay, now where did you go to school? What state and city was that in?
I went to school in started out with in Texas, and then I finished up my last year in Tennessee, and then we moved back to Texas after that.
Okay.
So
that was mainly because
my father got stationed at an Air Force base in Tennessee, and we got sent down there.
Okay, now you mentioned that your father was sort of affiliated with MJ-12. Was he part of MJ-12? Was he a member, or was he someone that they communicated with?
He was sort of like in the shadows, more of an overseer, if you will, of the entire project. And he was below Ramey, General Ramey.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was General Ramey. But he was over several others.
Now that's while he was at the Pentagon then, you're saying?
Yes, while he was at the Pentagon.
Okay.
And of course, when I graduated high school and joined the Air Force shortly after my, I was one of the youngest to go in the military after graduating from high school. I actually went into the Air Force at age 13.
Now, 40, that's 40. A little bit hard for a lot of people to swallow. And
it was hard for me to swallow, too. But I took their tests, and I passed them with flying colors. So because of my age, my age had nothing to do with my physical size. I was, at age 12, I was 5'7". I had long blonde hair and quite shapely, and I could pass for an adult, young adult female with no problem whatsoever. So my size was not the issue. Only difference was my age, in as far as age was young.
Now, did they know your age when you were in the Air Force?
Yes, they did.
And they didn't have a problem with that?
Well, the Army did, the Navy did, the Marines did. But the Air Force, means I had made such high scores on their qualification tests, I qualified for everything. So basically they said, well, we're not going to pass this one up. And they got special permission from Washington to allow me to enlist.
Now, were they letting you drink beer on the weekends, in the NCO club?
I didn't drink beer.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure there.
I was a non-alcoholic drinker. I didn't drink any alcohol at all.
Okay, so that's quite unusual. Now,
do you have
documentation, any kind of documentation that shows that?
I tried to get a copy of my DD-214, but I was unable to get that because my records were sealed. Upon my getting out of the military. So, and I've had several veteran administrations trying to do the same thing. I requested them to get a DD-214 for me, and they couldn't get it either because the records are sealed. I did have at one time my discharge certificate, graduation discharge, the actual discharge with the emblem and all that on it, but that's been misplaced somewhere. I do have documentation, yes, but I'm having trouble getting any documentation from the military because of my extremely high clearance that I had, top secret, crypto top secret.
Well, and Bob Lazar had a similar problem, and everything he went through, I heard pretty recently, I think it was through John Lear, I heard that he's back again working at S4 or Area 51.
Yeah, he's back at S4 again.
Strange world. So now, how long were you in the Air Force?
I was in the Air Force for a little over 12 years.
12 years. So you were about 28, or no, I take that back, 24 and a half or so, 24, 25 when you got out?
Yeah, about that.
Huh, okay. Now, were you a pilot, or did they give you a desk job, or did they send you back into the Hollow Earth?
Well, when I was at Area 51, for several weeks I did a lot of reading, reports coming across my desk. But shortly after, after my arrival, I was requested by name to go down to the lower level, as level 29 and 30, actual 30, and that's where the shuttle station was located that they had bored into at one by the RAND Corporation that was boring out some tunnels there. And they bored into a tunnel that happened to have hold the shuttle station for tunnels that were already there that we didn't make. And so I was requested by name to go down to this shuttle station.
Now, who made those tunnels that you're talking about?
They were made by the Atlanteans and made by the Lemurians and made by the inner Earth population.
Okay. Now, since they weren't part of the RAND Corporation and they didn't have this nuclear boring machine that many of us have seen photos of on the Internet, what kind of technology did they use to bore their tunnels? Are you aware of that?
Well, I know that they used a highly sophisticated machine that melted the rock. I'm thinking laser technology as well, but of a higher, more advanced degree, because the tunnels that the RAND Corporation bored, their boring machine, the sides were rather kind of smooth, but not as smooth as the ones that were already made.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that were already made were smooth as glass.
Okay. Who had the better shuttle? The inner Earth people or the people at Area 51?
No, the ones that were already in use and in operation in the tunnels below Area 51 were highly advanced in technology, and they were more they made the RAND Corporation machines look like how would I put this?
Like the Flintstones mobile or something.
Something like that, yeah. Very primitive compared to what they use now.
Okay. Did you happen to see any grays or reptilians either in Area 51 or S4 or anywhere down to this 30th level that you say you went to?
Okay, now level 28 is the alien grays, or the Zeta Reticulus, were on area on the level 28 of Area 51, and I didn't go down there because I really didn't care to be around those individuals because to me they gave me the creeps, but
mm-hmm.
because they just to me. They could communicate with my mind, and because I was born with the ability of telepathy, me and my sister together,
mm-hmm.
and so we communicated all the time through telepathy between us. And after we were separated, of course, that became not so often because not too many other people on the surface know how to speak in telepathy or with telepathy. So I was I would be very uneasy whenever I'd go down to level 28 because I knew what they were thinking.
Now we're not talking about like the Waldorf Astoria or the local Holiday Inn. How deep are each one of these levels you're talking about? How far down would that be at 28 levels?
Well, the first level of Area 51 is, which is the main, more like, operations, is the, which I consider the first level, is basically, I went down 5 miles before reaching the first level.
5 miles to get to the first level.
To get to the first level.
Now, is that because they were trying to stay clear of the chemtrails?
What's that?
Is that because they were trying to stay clear of the chemtrails? Or they were just being that secretive?
They just wanted the complex to be extremely deep underground in case of nuclear war or anything of that nature.
Okay.
And 5 miles is definitely a nice safe distance to avoid any possible radiation on the surface. Now, the 28th level would be, after that, each level was a mile down past that. So you're figuring 28 levels, you're figuring 28 miles.
Or 33, the 28th level would be, what, 33 miles down?
Like, yeah, about 33, 34 miles down.
They must have had high ceilings.
Well, not that high, but high enough.
Okay, I'm just trying to picture this in my mind.
Immense complex. I mean, Area 51 is, it's totally not what people can fathom, basically, because it's just so immense, and it was built back in the early 50s. So it was basically, the purpose of it was, you know, like you said, to avoid, like I said, was to avoid nuclear, fallout and things of that nature. But it was also built for another reason, and that's to survive the coming cataclysms that's going to be hitting the Earth. So that's another reason that they wanted that to have that deep.
Okay, so now you were pretty much then after, I guess I'm trying to just discern, okay, you were in the Air Force. Now, from the time you went to the Air Force, I know you mentioned that your father was stationed at the Pentagon, so you ended up going to the Pentagon with him. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how long did you stay there?
And I was at the Pentagon for no more than, actually I was there for about 8 months. And then I got resent out to Area 51. I wasn't there long.
Okay. And then you spent the rest of your career in the Air Force there at Area 51.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. Did they allow you to do any flying or?
Oh yes, absolutely. Oh,
what type of craft did you fly?
Nothing like they have out here right now. They were, Bob Lazar spoke of the sports craft.
That was the sports model.
That was the smallest of all the ships. Now that particular craft was, it were like a hot rod, hot rod sports craft, whatever you would call it. It wasn't all that big, but it was really maneuverable. And that was the ship that I went up in and was taught how to fly. Now that one is, you don't have no joystick like you do in an aircraft and a conventional aircraft. You have a console, and then you have imprints on this console that resemble a human hand. Now, well, not exactly a human hand, but more like three. Let's see.
Or an alien hand. Let's say
an alien hand, right? So, like, your three fingers together, and your thumb and little fingers stuck out on the side, something like that. And when you put your hand in there, you were instantly hooked into the guidance, propulsion, and all the workings of that particular vessel with your mind. And however you thought, whether it was to hover, to go left, to go right, to accelerate, to time travel, whatever, you did it.
Okay, so you're talking then that's what we would call a symbiotic ship. It was sentient.
Yes.
It was alive.
Yes, it was sentient. You become part of it when you entered into it and made contact with it. It was attuned to your frequency, to your vibration, and to your thought pattern.
Okay.
And that's how you flew the ship.
Now, Bob Lazar described that ship, the sport model, I think he called it, and he described it as sort of being having the appearance of something that was injection molded, and he described the seats as being extremely short or extremely small for someone three to 4 feet tall maximum. Did they redesign the seats for you, or did you have to sit in cramped little seats?
No, I was basically sitting between the seats on cushions.
Hmm.
Or a bigger something for my bottom. And there was an alien being, or gray, if you want to call him a gray, was sitting off to my right in a chair, in a seat, one of the small seats. It accommodated him quite well, but I wasn't able to sit in it. I wouldn't have been able to sit in it. It was just too thin for me to be able to sit in. And so basically I sat on the floor on some cushion, pillows, cushions, or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like a sofa cushions type. And I sat on that and I had my hands on the console, and that's how I flew the ship, and it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Now, might seem like a trivial question for some, but I've read many hundreds and hundreds of reports, if not thousands, of people that have been abducted or been in the proximity of grays, and the grays eat by rubbing sort of a slurry on their skin. Now, were you in the presence of these individuals, and I guess, did they smell like onions? That's a pretty typical description.
More like garlic, almost.
Garlic, okay.
Yeah, more like a garlic smell. But it wasn't really, it wasn't nauseating or anything like that. But it was a minor, it wasn't a heavy smell. But it was, I'm of course myself, when I was there, I ate a lot of fruit and vegetables because I didn't really care for meat. And once in a while I would, I tried to get a couple of them to eat some, fruit. And, a couple of them even tried the fruit.
Let me guess, did they try squash? No.
Squash, no. I
was thinking that would be easy to rub on your skin, Just
like
sort of smash peaches, it on there.
Like, kind of like peaches, tomatoes, maybe a couple of plums. Nothing really, a lot, ingestible but that you would normally think about. But, yeah, they did give off a bit of an odor, but nothing really nauseating.
Now, when you communicated with them, was it all telepathic? And if it was telepathic, what language were you hearing this in?
I was hearing it in English.
Okay.
I was hearing their communication in English.
Okay.
They also knew of my my origins, so I, every once in a while they'd slip in a few words of Lemurian, and I would understand them as well. So we really
mm-hmm.
didn't have too much trouble communicating at all. They were fascinated with how quickly I learned how to fly the craft, though.
Yeah, I would presume they would be. What age would you say you were at the time you started actually flying?
I would say I was about, let's see. Well, I went in out of basic training out of Lackland Air Force Base. I was there until turned over my 14th birthday. So I would say I was maybe 15 and a half, possibly 16 when I started flying.
Okay.
And it was, like I said, it was quite interesting and quite an exhilarating time, because you don't feel any G-force at all. And doing L-shaped turns or figure eights or whatever, or going full throttle straight ahead and then suddenly going the opposite direction, there was no G-force whatsoever. Artificial gravity inside the craft at all times.
Now, what did you, I don't want you to give away any military secrets and get in trouble. You know, we want to honor national security. I'll put that in quotes. Can you give us a description of what the purpose you were flying was?
Familiarization for one, to learn how to fly it. And to give a detailed report as to how I felt when I went up in it. Was I able to get along with my instructors, extraterrestrial instructors, and was I able to handle the craft with the minimal amount of difficulty, which I did quite well. Other people that went up in it, they had a hard time. For some reason, I don't know why, but I guess they were just uneasy at the presence of having an alien telling them what to do.
Could have been the excess garlic smell, too.
Well, it might have been that as well. They were really medical team was really surprised that when I came back, I wasn't disoriented or dizzy or anything of that nature, like most of the other pilots that went up. Almost all the ones besides me that went up, they came back disoriented, confused, dizzy, basically having a hard time. And I asked them what the purpose of trying to, teaching these pilots how to fly these craft. And they said, well, we have a fleet of ships, but we have to have pilots that are qualified to fly them. And so far, you're the only one that has no trouble whatsoever in flying these. And we're trying to find out why.
Yeah,
you can do it.
I mean, did you ever?
And other people can't.
Yeah, did you ever find out what the ultimate purpose was for flying these craft? I mean, were you to go pick up groceries, or were they going to use these in battle, or did they intend on going to other planets? Did they ever? I don't want to put you in a precarious position where you're violating some oath that you may have taken.
It's not a problem. Basically, what they wanted to, their sole purpose was to orchestrate an invasion. And the purpose of that, you probably saw in the past, there was several kids that were on milk cartons, missing kids,
mm-hmm.
that weren't found. Some were, but most of them weren't found. The ones that weren't found were actually taken to Area 51 for genetic engineering.
Yeah, I've heard that story before, and I think you may have mentioned it the last time you're on the show, and you may recall me saying, wouldn't it be nice to open up your refrigerator and see one of your favorite politicians on that milk carton?
I don't know about that.
Got to have a sense of humor these days, you know.
Yeah. Well, children are easier and they're more resistant to genetic engineering than adults. Their anatomy is more, more of a easy to manipulate, if you will.
Well, yeah, they're still growing, for one thing. What were the purposes for these genetic manipulations? I mean, were they hybrids? They were making hybrids.
Hybrids.
Okay.
Part alien, part human.
And can you expound on the purpose for that?
Yes. Maybe I was talking about the orchestration of an invasion.
Mm-hmm.
To bring about what would be termed as the total takeover of governmental powers, martial law, if you will, at a certain time.
This is a staged invasion, then.
You're talking about a movie
script type of invasion.
Yeah. You know, notice there's a lot of movies out now that are showing, like, Independence Day or other, you know, things of that nature.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest comes to mind, but go ahead.
No, more like the versus the flying saucers or the day the earth stood still.
Yes.
Initial contact.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, what I've been informed here recently, is that little orchestration is not going to work. Because there's an event going to happen, like I said, in a couple short weeks, that's going to expose all of that. And
dare I ask what that event is going to be? Are you at liberty to share that with us?
I'm going to tell you, and I hope you're recording because it's very important.
Yes.
On the 14th of October, in fact, I wrote it down here. Let me read it to you. Make sure I get it right.
Now, when did you get this message?
I received the message approximately a week ago.
Okay.
No more than a week ago. And here's what's coming down.
And from whom is the message, I should say, too?
Well, it's coming from the Hollow Earth people.
Okay.
Sent to me, but telepathically. Okay. To the leaders, governors, politicians, and all people of Earth, attention. We wish it to be understood that on the 14th day of your month of October, in the year 2008, a craft of great size shall be visible within your skies. It shall be in the southern part of your nation. It will cover 3 states. Louisiana, Alabama, and Georgia. The ship is, the size of the ship, circumference of the ship, is 1,000 miles in diameter. And it shall scan over many of your southern states. We give you the name of Alabama. It has been decided that we shall remain within your atmosphere for a minimum of 3 days. 3 24-hour periods of, during this time, there will be much commotion upon your earth plane. Your highest authorities will be intruding into our atmospherics that surround our ship. This security field is necessary for us as there shall take place a force from those of your world who shall try to deny that we come in love. Know of this, we come to assist your world, not to come to take over. We do not come to destruct. We come to give you hope. We are beings from other worlds, near galaxies. For many eons of your time, we have been preparing for these days ahead. We ask each and every soul that reads of these words to accept in their hearts, heart chakras, the truth that lies within. For in that place, there is a knowing that this is to take place. there shall be many who will deny it. There shall be many who will dismiss it. There shall be those who know of the truth, whichever you may be. Let this be understood. It shall take place.
Now, question. It seems to me like the area you mentioned is a bit smaller than 1,000 miles.
I'm thinking that too.
Are they going to be maybe overlapping the Gulf of Mexico or? I don't know the exact mileage of that whole area there, but it seems to me like a 1,000 mile ship is going to.
It's going to be quite noticeable, to say the least. You figure that the ship is basically of the Ashtar command. And the commander, of course, of that ship is Sananda, which is in interpretation would be, you know who. Sananda is another name for Jesus. The ship that's going to appear on the 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's just the beginning. There's going to be other sightings in daylight hours all over the world. Up until the final ascension of planet Earth. And that ascension has already started. It started in 2006. And it will be ending in the year 2012. That will be the final ascension time for the entire planet Earth to ascend from the third dimensional realm to the fourth to the fifth dimensional realm. See, Earth is a living being, and it has to evolve. And it wants to evolve with everyone on and in it. The people of the hollow earth, the people of the Telosians, the Lemurians underneath Mount Shasta, and all of the inner earth inhabitants in the earth's crust will be sending people out to the surface to prepare this world for its ascension. So between the 14th of October up to 2012, you're going to see not just one or two ships, but several. And you're going to see people are going to start coming out from their cities within the Earth's crust and within Mount Shasta and within the hollow Earth out through the polar openings to help the world to ascend, to raise their vibrational level and their consciousness level. This must be done in order for the entire globe, the entire world, to ascend. Now, this has never happened before in all the galaxy. It's never happened that an entire planet has ascended into a fifth-dimensional realm at one time. But this is the first time in recorded in history anywhere that this is happening. That's why there's several ships in our skies or in our atmosphere around our planet that are watching the ascension of planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
From several star galaxies, the Pleiadians, the Zeta Reticuli, the Andromeda, the Sirius, wherever you want to, however far out you can fathom, they're here to watch the ascension of planet Earth.
Well, now you've mentioned a couple of things that some people are really going to
freak out.
They're reaching for some kind of bottle right about now, I would guess.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, and that's fine. I mean, I'm not asking them to believe what I'm saying.
Yes, I understand. You're delivering the message.
But when it takes place, then they'll know because they've heard it beforehand. So I'm not saying believe what I say without any reservations. I'm saying when it happens, then you'll know the words I speak are true. And when it happens, you'll know that the enlightenment of planet Earth is at hand.
Okay, I think
and all of the governmental secrets, all of the secret government, the Illuminati, all of your shady and dark, sinister things going on planet Earth, it's coming to an end real fast. The politicians that are the governmental politicians of what's going on right now, don't be concerned about whether it's going to be Obama or whether it's going to be McCain. It's actually McCann.
But, yeah, that's the correct name.
Yeah, it's McCann. It's not McCain. McCann is his real last name. But don't worry about who's going into office, because in a couple short years, it won't matter, because there won't be any more government. As you know, government. When the people say, "Well, the earth," we got all these people telling us that the world is going to end in 2012. Well, in a sense, they're correct. When they say the world is going to end as they know it, as they are familiar with, it was going to end. That is correct. But as far as the destruction of the earth itself, no. The earth will continue on. But just the ideal, the mindset will be destroyed, and it will change. It has to, because that's evolution.
Mm-hmm.
The word evolution, people are saying, well, evolution is, if you stop and look at the first four letters of evolution, is love backwards. So.
Yes, yes.
So what does that tell you? It's telling you that it's evolution? No, it's lovelution, actually, if you want to make
well,
it more.
Well, I've got you booked for the 14th of this month. We actually booked this last month, about a month ago. In fact, I owe you a belated happy birthday, because you were to be on the show on the 18th of September. And
yes.
And you relinquished that day so pastors Matthew Stephen and Stephen Benning could deliver an important message. And they said to thank you for that, by the way.
I never did actually get a chance to listen to that message.
Mm-hmm.
I was called away to do something for a friend.
Mm-hmm. If this doesn't happen on the 14th, realize that the night of the 14th, you're going to have egg on your face.
Well, I'm just the message deliverer, okay?
Like I said,
I'm not asking them to believe me. I'm asking them to wait and see, and when it happens, then they'll know I'm speaking the truth.
Or they'll have egg on their face, then.
And okay. They'll have egg on their face. Now, like I said, when this event takes place, this is just the beginning. There's going to be other ships in the skies, and they're not going to be showing up at nighttime anymore. They're going to start showing up in the daytime. You're going to start seeing more ships in the daytime. And another thing that I need to, I've just been impressed to give out to you here, is that the abductions are over with.
No more milk cartons?
No more alien abductions. No more cattle mutilations. Things of this nature. All of this has been halted by the guardians of the our portion of the universe, of the Ashtar Command. They have stopped all of the evildoer extraterrestrials, roving bands of extraterrestrials. They've stopped them from doing any more mischief or terrifying the population of Earth. That's over with.
Now, what's going to happen to the children that have been turned into hybrids? Is that reversible?
Anything like that is reversible. Now, the atmosphere that's within the hollow Earth is a harmonious, peaceful, extremely wonderful place. Now, thing about it is, this earth was meant to have, the surface of this earth was meant to be the same way. And that's the purpose of them coming out from the hollow earth, from the inner earth, and things of this nature. They also want you to know that your water is the elixir of life. And it is, in its pure state, it can change your bodies and actually bring the dead back to life. It can bring life force back into each and every cell, thereby increasing the flow of consciousness in your whole body and bringing full consciousness back into every living cell. This quickening can move you beyond all earthly sickness and disease and give you the physical perfection. Water consciousness. You know that soon your pure water will arrive on the surface again to cure all the ills of your people and bring back into a higher state of Christ consciousness.
Now, you mentioned that Jesus is coming. You referred to him. Why would he be using a different name than the one he used when he came?
At the Ashtar Command, he is one of the commanders in the Ashtar Command, which means his name is Sananda, which is his Ashtar Command name. And Jesus is Sananda. Sananda is Jesus. They are one and the same.
Do you think we ought to warn Benny Hinn and John Hagee and some of those guys?
No, I wouldn't be concerned about that.
No, okay.
Not really. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of things going on here, like especially around 2012. Now, see, there's what you've heard the saying that St. Peter's at the gates of heaven waiting to allow you in or not allow you in. Well, in essence, that's what the fifth dimensional realm is. It's the doorway to heaven, if you will, a doorway to total and complete peace and harmony upon planet Earth. Now, you have to raise your vibration and your Christ and your consciousness to a Christ consciousness in order to be able to ascend along with Mother Earth to and through the portal, the final doorway to the eternal peace, which is definitely the fifth dimension. So there is a price to pay, so to speak, and that's giving up all the evil in your life, giving up everything that you've ever been taught as far as what the world's all really really about, and accepting the possibility of new realities, because the Earth is going into a fifth-dimensional realm, which is a new reality. And it's going to change your entire outlook on life completely.
Well, I'm familiar with the phenomenon that you're describing, and many in the listening audience are, as are many of the hosts on BBS Radio. I guess the main thing we should be thinking about for the next couple of weeks is telling our congressmen to hold off. We're going to have a totally different kind of bailout.
Save
the money.
It. Yeah, because they said once this new world comes into being, which is the fifth dimensional realm, now the ones that aren't ready to ascend, They're in their third dimensional frame of mind. If they want to stay in their frame of mind, ones that aren't ready to pass over into the higher dimensions, they're going to be, you know, freedom of choice will still be, you know, prevalent upon the earth. But the people that aren't ready to change their ways or not ready to evolve will be removed from planet Earth. And they will be placed on another planet similar to the Earth that will accommodate their state of evolution. This is what the Christians are speaking of, the rapture. But it's not what they're, not the same understanding. Their understanding, the Christian understanding of the rapture is that they're going to be raptured, go up into heaven, and be with Christ and all this. They've got it partially right, but not totally. The mass disappearance on Earth will be the ones that aren't ready to ascend with the planet and the entire Mother Earth planet as a whole into the fifth dimensional realm. They've got until 2012 to get themselves ready.
So this ascension is, you're saying the process is going to begin on the 14th, and they're going to be here for 3 days. Now, after that 3 days transpires,
yes,
where what's going to happen? What do they say is going to happen?
Well, the way they put it to me was that they feel that, that their appearance being in the skies for three consecutive days, day and night, in that same spot, not moving, is going to awaken a lot of people. It's going to cause a lot of panic, too, because a lot of people are not going to understand what's going on, and they're going to be in fear. But the people in the ship are not just going to be sitting there doing nothing. They're going to be contacting through all forms of media the entire world, through TV, television, satellite. That's what they've been waiting for. They've been waiting for our world to get to a point where we can communicate and show pictures worldwide. That's what they've been waiting for. We've gotten to that point. Now it's time for them to arrive and give an enlightenment message to the world.
Any reason why they picked the set location for the movie Deliverance? is that just a coincidence?
I think that's a coincidence, actually. You are comical, you know that?
well, it just hit me.
I really do appreciate you because you're a wonderful person. And you're getting, you're taking the time to let me get this message out, which I appreciate.
I'm not making fun of the topic. It just hits me
yes,
of
I
all
know.
The places, you know, they picked maybe we should have somebody playing dueling banjos while all this is going on, you know.
Now understand, this is just one of many locations.
Okay.
This is just the first of many locations that are going to be blessed with an appearance of a ship. Maybe not of the same size, but pretty good size. This is a grandstand, so to speak, to let everyone know on planet Earth that the question whether we're alone in the universe will be answered.
Now there are those on this planet already, and we can speak about the governments, shadow governments.
Yes.
Illuminati, the reptilians, the greys, that don't want this to happen. How are they going to handle that situation?
They're going to go into a panic because the announcements that's going to be going over the national and all the media airways is going to be basically going to be exposing the Illuminati, exposing the shadows, exposing the shadow projects and the secret government. They're going to be brought out into the open. And that's their purpose. They want to get this message out to the people so the people can finally stand up against their oppressors.
Okay, now did they give a time of day that this is going to happen?
What?
I'm, I'm sorry, I was asking, did they give a time of day that this is to occur, or is that the surprise?
That's going to be the surprise. it's going to be, like I said, people are going to hear it coming across their airways in all the countries of the world. And it's, and they're going to be hearing it in spoken in one language, but they're all going to understand it in their own language.
Okay.
So when it goes out to the to Israel, it'll be in Hebrew. Goes out to China, it'll go out in Chinese. Goes out to America, American. Goes out all the other countries, it's going to go out in their language. They'll hear it in their language.
America, it's going to have to go out in gibberish.
Yeah, because there's so many different countries, you know, in America now.
Yes.
You really can't say it's America anymore. It's more like a mixed country.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, see, all of this, you know, the reptilians and things of this nature, and I forgot who it was that told me about Obama being a reptilian, but.
If you read my article and then look at the picture that we published, Ken Adachi published on his website, educate-yourself.org, you can see the actual crops that we took off of a colorized version of a picture that was put out in black and white for public consumption.
Right.
It's pretty interesting to look at it.
Send me a link for that. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'll do that. I've got your email. I'll send you something.
I appreciate it.
But for the listening audience, if they go to educate-yourself.org, and you click on current news, Ken's got an article that came out, I think around the 26th, 27th, somewhere around there. Maybe even just before that, actually analyzes the photo. It's mind blowing.
I imagine it is.
However, it's something that many of us knew. So, and there have been several researchers that have talked about this. And of course, you know, you do so at the risk of being called a nut or a wacko or just plain crazy. But,
I've had that happen on here before.
yeah, we're not doing the shape shifting, okay?
Right.
There's major shape shifting going on in the photo, so.
Oh, wow. I definitely look forward to seeing that. Let's see. There's also another thing they also want me to give out to you, the people, your listeners.
Okay.
The Cetacean Nation. The Cetacean Nation, meaning all the air breathers in the ocean, such as dolphins and whales, things of this nature, that breathe air, they have a message as well. And there's a book out that's put out by Diane Robbins in Mount Shasta, California. She has a book called The Call Goes Out from the Cetacean Nation. And it's a book of messages, telepathic messages that she received from the whales, talking about the ascension as well, and that they want all the whales that are in marine land and aqua land and marine Pacific and all these holding facilities that have the whales, the killer whales and dolphins
and porpoises
and all this. You have your listeners start sending these complexes or these places where these whales are in captivity to let them go, because they have their own nation in the ocean, and that's where they need to be. They don't need to be giving shows for us. They need to be in the ocean, giving love to Mother Earth to help her ascend. And that's the messages they're giving to the people now. They're sending out love messages to the people, but of course they're not listening. But they have a message too, and they say they give all their captors, ones that have put them in captivity, but they want to be free. They want to go back. They want to be with their families again. And have your listeners send letters of protest, letters of to let them loose, because they have no business having them in there in the first place. And they have a right to be free, just like we do. And, of course, by 2012, they're going to be all freed anyway. I have the assurance that some of the, if their messages are not heeded, that the Hollow Earth people, as well as the Star people, as Star can, will be abducting whales out of Greenland and Aqualand and all them areas. All they have to do is fly over and, you know, take the whales out. So if they don't heed their call, they're going to lose them anyway. But we want to give them at least the choice to do so beforehand.
It might help with their ascension, is what you're saying.
Yes, it will. And it'll help, it will help with their ascension. And like there's the Indian nations and all this, they're getting messages as well as me giving out messages here. The Indian nations are getting communications through the spirit guides and things of this nature, talking about the ascension. So all the word's getting out to everyone. And,
now, why wouldn't this apply to all animals that are in captivity? Of course, you'd have to release them in their native habitat, but I'm thinking of people with pets, too. That question's going to come up. What is their attitude about pets? You know, I'm not ready to give up my pets, and my pets haven't contributed to anything but dropping a few landmines in the backyard, you know.
I believe they're speaking of ones that are have the intelligence or greater intelligence than human.
Yeah, I'm aware of the role that they play, you know, on a galactic scale, if you want to call that, or a universal scale.
Now, our pets, like our chihuahuas or whatever we have, they're for our companionship. As long as we treat them, you know, appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Pit bulls are not allowed, probably. I'm going to guess.
I'm sure that if any creature is being mistreated or whatever, they will be, dealt with.
Yeah.
It'll go against them as far as their ascension. But like I said, when 2012 comes around, see, a lot of people out there have. Wonder, well, you know, how can this be? How can it be so close for the ascension of planet Earth, and we don't know about it? The reason we don't know about it is because the governments, the powers that be, don't want us to know about it. They want to keep the population of Earth under a thumb shelter, so they can control. Well, their control is just about to come to an end. And up to the year 2012, they've got to the year 2012 to get their act in order. This is going to be removed.
You mean we won't have to get the national ID?
I really don't think that that's going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen. I know I'm not going to accept it.
Yeah.
Because, well, one, I ain't going to be here. I'm going home next year.
Oh, wow. Who am I going to have on my show, Billy, if you're not around?
Brooks Agnew has an expedition going to the North Polar opening to go in. And I'm going with him. And it's more like a going home for me. Which I'm I know that kind of blew some people's minds, and now they're going, wait a minute, what's this person saying? My origin is of the hollow earth. There I said it. And I'm going back, and I'm going to stay, and I'm not coming, or I might come back later, but I'll be coming back with one of my own ships after I get re-educated and get my immune system back where it should be. I mean, I haven't been sick a day in my life, and now my immune system's starting to break down, so I'm looking forward to going home.
Mm-hmm.
So I can revitalize it, reinforce it, and then if they want me to come back out, fine, I'll come back out, but I'll be coming back out in one of the elusive aeroships.
Well, this is actually, Billy, we're out of time right now, but okay. I want to comment quickly here that this has been a bit of a surprise, because I thought we were going to go over, you know, some of your experiences throughout.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, all the time that you've been doing this, but no, that's fine. I mean, this is news, especially in light of the bailout that has just consumed the news the past week.
Well, you know, the bailout thing, it wouldn't have been good for the people of the nation anyway.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
But the thing about it is what was I going to say now? Lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Well, I was just, you know, bringing that issue up because this is a far more important issue. And, But of course, you know, I did a 20-minute rant at the beginning of my show last night, just talking about it has nothing to do with what they're saying it's about. It's about corruption. It's about them stealing money.
Right.
And
that's all it's
and
about.
And they're just trying to, you know, drive us down into the hole that much deeper, into an abyss.
Right.
You know.
That's true.
And the people are waking up to that. The whole country sees that. Save a couple of people that I heard on C-SPAN yesterday, where this woman is afraid her daughter's going to have to eat porridge.
Eat porridge?
Yeah, that was her concern. I'm really worried about this thing. You know, if we don't bail these banks out of trouble, my kid's going to have to eat porridge. That's the ignorance that's out there.
You know that the national debt or deficit, if you want to call it that, is a farce. It's not real.
Oh, I know that. You know, they're hoarding the money is what they're doing. So.
Yeah, it is. You're right. And after we got our independence from England, right after that, there was an agreement between the United States government, colonial government, and the King of England, that all debts were paid and finalized and no more debt. So from that point, America was debt-free. And it's been debt-free all this time. The only thing is they're creating a debt so they can collect taxes. And taxes are illegal in the first place.
Yep. Well, you're preaching to the choir on that one. So, I'm looking forward to the show on the 14th, and
then we can discuss more what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. We may have something totally different to talk about too.
Unless something else happens, the appearance of a large vessel in the sky.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll be happy to talk about that.
And if that happens,
can you swing it that we can get one of the representatives of that group on the show?
Well, why don't you ask them?
Well, I am asking through you. I'm asking through the messenger.
I'm saying just ask them because they are monitoring your program.
Okay.
Ask them when they come to hover in the southern skies, could they... Making an appearance on your show, I guess.
Do you have their email address by any chance?
I don't think they have an email address.
Okay. Well, if they're listening, they're laughing right now. So. All right, Billy, we're out of time. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun. I hope the listening audience enjoyed it. And we'll see you here again on October the 14th, one way or the other.
Myself.
Okay, very good.
Like I said, don't crucify the messenger.
No, I won't, but, you know.
But I'm just telling you, I got the message out like they told me to do. So if it doesn't happen on the 14th, it may happen on the 15th, but it's going to happen in that time frame. Either way, but they have specified October the 14th. So I'm going to go ahead and go with what they said. I'm not going to say anything other than that.
Okay.
Because basically the Federation of Light, that's what they're termed as, detailed contact message, which includes the date of October 14th, 2008, and locations. Listen this week for more updates. That's what I'm doing for listening.
Okay. Well, if you'll keep me posted, as these locations become available, I'll post them on my site and announce them on the show live. So
yeah, that way, if we know beforehand when the ships are going to appear and what states they're going to appear in or what cities, then people can be on the lookout for them.
Okay, and of course, we'll see this on CNN too, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. You'll see on CNN and probably all kinds of media. And for people that don't have... I'm sure they'll probably have it on YouTube, on TV, on the computer as well.
Okay. All right, Billy. Well, we're going to say goodnight now to the listening audience, and I'll see you on the 14th. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest, Colonel Billy F. Woodard, will be back with us on the 14th, and we may be talking about a 1,000-foot ship over the land of the dueling banjos, we'll call it. 1,000-mile ship, you said. Yeah, did I misspeak there?
Okay. You said 1,000-foot.
Oh, no, 1,000-mile. Okay, 1,000-mile. That was a slip of the tongue. Okay. I want to thank...
Even a 1,000-foot ship would be huge.
Okay. I got to sign off now, Billy.
Okay.
Special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible and Seth Hendrick on the sound. And most of all, listening audience, I wish everyone... an exciting 2 weeks up to the 14th. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.